Hello, Tracy, come on down. Hello, hello, hello. Guys, Tracy got baptized this past week. Give her another hand, come on up. We did warn you, here you go. You can go have a seat. We want to make a big deal out of that, guys. Anytime somebody becomes a Christian, that's a big deal. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. And Jesus set the church up. You know, the church was Jesus' idea. We didn't just come up with this as humans. This was his idea. And Jesus' idea is the church is our family. Whenever we decide to follow Jesus, we all get adopted as sons and daughters into the family of God. And God gives us his spirit, he gives us his word, and he gives us a family. He hates loneliness. And he doesn't want any of us to be alone. And so that's why he gives us the church. And so anytime somebody joins the church or makes a decision to join the family of Jesus' church, we want to make the church aware of that because we are older brothers and sisters. And what do older brothers and sisters, if you love your younger sibling, do? You help take care of them, right? You help raise them. And it's the same with our younger spiritual siblings as well. So that's what a healthy church is meant to do. And if you're here today, you already know we're at the beginning of a new year, 2025. Like, we can't believe it's the year 2025. It's going by quick, right? And New Year's is often a time for us to make goals. A lot of us have New Year's resolutions. Some of us hate New Year's resolutions. But that's okay. Goal setting, though, we're going to talk about that today. As we talk about loving God in 2025, this is a really good time to talk about goal setting. And you may be surprised, but the Bible actually has a lot to say about it. Goal setting is a spiritual discipline. That's going to be a surprise to some of us today. But God gives us insight on this. And instead of planning around scenarios, when you're talking about making plans for your life or setting goals for your life, it's wise to just make it your goal to please God in all things, right? What's the greatest command in the whole Bible? It's to love God with everything you've got. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what Jesus said. That's the most important thing. When you're thinking about setting goals, you know, my dad loves Jesus, and he's a good man. And I remember him telling me growing up, he said, Wes, you need to love God and do as you please. Love God and do as you please. And the implication is if I'm really loving God, if I'm really doing that, then what I do is going to please God automatically. If I'm loving God first and putting all my chips in that basket, like that's really what I'm trying to do is love God first, then that's going to affect the kinds of plans, the kinds of goals that I set. It's going to affect the kind of person that I am. It starts with loving God. When James is writing in the New Testament to some business owners who were making plans and just sort of planning their years out without thinking about God, here's what he said to them. He said, what you ought to say in James 4:15, which, by the way, you've got some notes in your bulletin. If you want to pull those out, it's going to have the scriptures on there and also a place for you to write a couple of things down. He says in James 4:15, what you ought to say is if it's the Lord's will and he wants us to do it, we will live and do this or that. Guys, let me tell you something. Your life is going to have some uncertain times. There's going to be stuff sometimes that life throws at you that rocks you. There's going to be situations that occur in life that can make you feel unmoored or unstable. You cannot control your life's circumstances. Amen? But what can you control? You can control your response. You can't control all the crap life throws at you, but you can control your response when it happens, right? And having growth in 2025, guys, I'm assuming now that I'm talking to a group of people that want to grow in 2025. I'm assuming if you're here today, you're here because you don't want to be the same person in December as you are right now. You want to grow this year. And if you want to grow, if you want to shape your future self in a positive direction, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you want to shape your future self in 2025, if you want to have goals that really help your life get better, your goals need to be based in faith. Your goals need to be based in your relationship with God and how you relate to God. This says right here, God's Word, the holy Word of God that we want to listen to and live under, says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Are you setting goals in faith? Are you making plans in faith? Are you thinking about this year and what God can do through you in 2025 in faith? Are you thinking about what God can do through this little church in faith? Are you thinking about what God can do through this little rehab we're building in faith? Are you thinking about what God can do in your cell, in your small group, in your ministry in faith? Are you thinking about the kids that are coming back to school at SIUE that don't know Jesus? Are you thinking about them in faith? Are you thinking about you teens that go to high school and all the lost kids around you? And some of you guys have made big life decisions, big changes. You're not the same person that you were a couple of years ago. Are you thinking in faith about how God can use you to change the lives of others? Are you thinking about 2025 in faith? This says without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to encourage you as you're thinking about your goals for this year to set faith goals and to make your goals centered around your faith. Why is setting faith goals so essential? Why am I harping on this? Guys, this is something God's Word teaches us to do. It says, we'll get to it in a second. First, you got a blank here. Why is setting faith goals so essential? Number one, is a spiritual responsibility. Goal setting is, firstly, a spiritual responsibility. God sets goals. You guys realize God is a goal setter. He sets goals for history. He sets goals for the universe. He talks about it. He set goals for your life. Did you know the God of the universe has goals for you? He set goals for your life, things for you to accomplish. And thinking through this, guys, is just a spiritual responsibility. Jesus set goals. Whenever Jesus comes and starts teaching, he talks about his own goals. And then he works to achieve his goals that he came to set out to achieve. Paul talks a lot about goals, right? Paul, a lot of us, we would consider Paul a spiritual giant. He wrote a large portion of the Bible. Like, we would consider him a spiritual giant and somebody to look to teach us, you know, how to live. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. Who's he pointing at? Paul, the spiritual giant. Who does he point at to follow? He points to Jesus. He says, yeah, you follow me as long as my example is lining up with who? Jesus, right? Follow me as I follow Christ. Paul set goals, just like Jesus set goals. In Philippians 3, 12 through 15, I want you to circle when the word goal shows up in this passage, okay? He says, I know that I am not yet what God wants me to be, okay? I'm not there yet. What do I want to do? I want to grow. So I want to grow. He says, I haven't reached that goal, but I keep moving toward it to make it mine because Christ made me and saved me for this. I know that I haven't yet reached my goal, but there's one thing I always do. Forgetting the past and straining toward what is ahead, I keep my eyes focused on the goal so that I may one day win the prize that God has called me to receive through Christ in the life above. And now he says this word goal how many times? Said it three times so far. Look at what the last sentence says. He says, all of you who are spiritually mature should what? You should think the same way too. All of you who are spiritually mature should think like I'm thinking right now. Guys, goal setting is a characteristic of the spiritually mature. If you feel like you have not grown or developed in your spiritual life, if you feel distant from God, if you are one of the folks, when I say love God with your whole heart, you're like, how? Like, where do I start? Guys, a relationship is where you start. A relationship is something you work on. Guys, when I first became a Christian, I would take my Bible and a legal pad and I would intentionally go spend time in prayer. I would shut my door and I would spend time in prayer and I would spend time reading my Bible and I would spend time journaling what I felt like God was personally teaching me that I needed to learn. And that was sacred, special time with me. And guys, you are not going to have a relationship with anyone, God or any other person, if you don't spend time with them, talk to them, listen to them, and do things to serve them. You've got to be intentional about that. This is something that is worthy of setting a goal for. It is worthy to set a goal to grow. Guys, he's here saying that being goal-oriented is a mark of spiritual maturity. If you feel like you haven't attained spiritual maturity or you're not on a good path, because this is part of how you get there, you need to listen today because this will really, really help you. And setting goals, you need to understand, it is a spiritual responsibility. Secondly, goals are statements of faith. Goals are statements of faith. You're saying, I believe God wants me to do this. And so this is what I'm going to work on. If I'm loving God and saying, I'm going to put God first, I want to follow God's lead where he wants me to go. And if I choose a goal, if I'm really loving God, I'm going to choose a goal that honors him. And if I believe he's leading me some way, then I'm going to go that way. Now, I want to encourage you guys, as you're thinking through your goals for this year, think about that through the lens of faith. Remember, guys, God is big, right? I think it's a good and healthy practice to set God-sized goals when you're talking about spiritual growth. And a God-sized goal is just a goal that's so big you can't achieve it without God's help. It's a goal that's too big for you to do on your own. It's something that's out of your reach, like on your own. God would have to get involved to make this happen. Those are good goals to set. Like, God likes it when we dream God-sized dreams. He wants us to dream big. He wants us to think about how we can have a big impact, right? He wants us to dream dreams that are bigger than anything we could achieve on our own. But we got to remember, God, it's not too big for him, right? And if it's going to honor him and it's going to bring glory to him and it's going to help people and it's going to make the world a better place, God has a way of getting involved in dreams like that sometimes and bringing them to fruition. He likes coming alongside dreamers who are dreaming godly dreams and that are God-sized dreams. He likes coming alongside those ruffians that the world looks at and says they're never going to achieve anything, right? They're losers. Those are like the people God props up in the Bible. If you go study the pattern of spiritual giants in the story of the Bible, it's like, yeah, God was involved in that because that dude is a loser, right? And I fit into that category. Like, if you look at my resume and the stuff that I've done, that guy shouldn't be on stage preaching, right? That doesn't make any sense. A drug addict who grew up getting molested and sexually abused and has all this trauma and junk in his life, like, he shouldn't be up there teaching anybody. But guys, God has just helped me. It's not me. Like, but that's the kind of stuff he does. He comes alongside people who are in situations where the world looks and says, nah. Guys, don't let your situation keep you from dreaming God-sized dreams. Make sure you're loving God first. You know, that make sure you're loving God first because that's going to affect the kind of dreams you have. But God likes a big dreamer. It says in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, will it be done to you? When you're talking about setting faith goals for 2025, God-sized goals, guys, I want to encourage you to dream and set a goal that's out of reach without God's help. And remember, you can sell yourself short, because what does this say? According to your faith, it's going to be done to you. How much do you believe in the power of God, or how much faith are you willing to put into this, right? Set big goals. And when you are asked to set a goal, I think it's good to put it on paper, write it down, and I also think it's good to put a time limit on it. if it's an actual goal. And, you know, a year, sometimes that's, for me, I'm undisciplined. I'll just tell you, I'm really disciplined about some stuff, and I'm super undisciplined about other things. And if there's, like going, you know, working out, for instance, I am not disciplined like I need to be with working out. If I say I'm going to work out for 365 days this next year, that ain't happening, right? But if I say in the next 100 days, I want to work out most days a week, you know, or something like that, I put a time limit on it, right? And when you put a time limit on it that's not way far off, it tends to light a fire under you, you know? You need to, especially if it's something you don't really want to do, like that for me, you need to put a time limit on it. You need to write it down. You need to articulate it. You need to say it out loud. You need to share it with someone. It's not really a goal unless you kind of formalize it and claim it. If it's just something that's in your mind or in your heart, I mean, it's not going to have the same effect as like a stated, this is what I'm going to do. We tend to try to live up to like what we say. You know, we tend to try to live up to the claims we make. And so set goals, say it, and if you can do it on your own power, it's not a faith goal, right? Thirdly, goals focus my energy. Goals focus my energy. Guys, I don't have to tell you the world is full of distractions. Like, there is all kinds of stuff vying for our attention. Some of you guys have been on social media since this lesson started, right? There's just stuff that is after us. And the secret to effectiveness in life is focus. It is focus. And you do not realize the amount of your life you are wasting without a focus. And what goals do, especially when you put a time limit on them, when you write them down, when you claim it, like, they give you a focus that will help you put one foot in front of the other to make progress. Guys, if you want your life to matter, and I believe you do, if you want your life to matter, you've got to focus on your life. You've got to focus on who you are. And Paul talks about faith goals like this in 1 Corinthians 9:26. He says, I don't run without a goal. I don't run without a goal. I haven't ended mine. He says, I fight like a boxer who's hitting something, not just the air. Like, I have a goal. I have a plan. I'm moving with intentionality. I don't just play around and waste time. Like, I'm here for a reason. He's got a plan. Guys, you shape your future self with the goals that you set and with trying to achieve them. Fourthly, goals keep me going. Goals give me diligence. Goals give me perseverance. Goals keep me moving forward towards something better. Like, goals keep me moving. In Job 6, Job says, this is just an aside to illustrate this point. He says, I don't have the strength to endure. I don't have, look at this. Job's complaining. He says, I don't have a goal that encourages me to carry on. Can anybody in here identify with that? Now, I've been clinically depressed in life. I've been suicidal. You know, when I was 20 years ago, before I got off drugs, I was in a really, really unhealthy place. And I remember wanting to take my life. And the reason is I didn't have anything to look forward to. I didn't believe there was a God. I just could not intellectually believe that there was a God. I wanted to. I thought it was a nice story and it would give a point to my life, but I couldn't intellectually do it, right? I had struggled in my career. I'd been in the radio business and I had worked in Memphis and was a pretty popular personality in the city. I was a local celebrity. I got free drinks at all the clubs. I got drugs all the time. I had limo service that carted me around. I was sort of living in a movie, is what I felt like. But I did that for a few months, and it was fun at first. You know, you see all these guys, like, partying or whatever. That looks so fun, and it is. Okay, just to be frank, it is at first. Sin is fun. If anybody tells you sin's not fun, it is. That's why people do it. It'll kill you. You know, that's the part you need to think about. It'll kill you and ruin your life, but there's some fun to be had on the front end. But it leads to this brokenness and this despair. And guys, I had gotten past the fun part, okay, of that lifestyle. And I had gotten into the part of it doesn't matter how much drugs I do or how many women I sleep with or how much alcohol I drink or how many parties I go to or how many clubs let me in for free or whatever, 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 how much attention I get. I've got a hole in my heart and I can't fill it up. Like, I'm just throwing all this stuff in here and I cannot fill up this hole in my heart. I did not want to live because I had achieved my dreams of living that lifestyle. Like, that's what I thought about when I was some of you guys' age. When I was 15, I was thinking about how I was going to party when I got out of my parents' house and how I was going to do this and that. And I went and did it. And all the stuff that I thought was going to make me happy did not make me happy. It did not fulfill me. And I was just a broken, empty person that was riding around in a limo. And guys, a lot of the celebrities and people you see on the covers of magazines that look like they have it all together, their lives are absolutely broken and they're sad and they're making it look like they're happy and they have it all together, but really they're just sad and lonely. That's what a lot of celebrities' lives are like. That's why they get on drugs and kill themselves, guys, because all the stuff that they thought was going to make them happy doesn't. Like, it might at first. You might think, oh, I got it now. But that goes away. It's not, it's temporary. It's an illusion of fulfillment. It's not really fulfillment. And when you feel like you don't have anything in life to look forward to, when you feel like you've achieved your dreams and your dreams were a sham and didn't bring you the fulfillment and didn't fill up that hole in your heart, because there's no reason to keep going. If this is what life is and there's nothing else to it, then I just don't even want it. That's how I felt. Because that's the source of depression. Is you feel like you don't have anything to look forward to in life. And when you feel like you don't have anything to look forward to in life, guys, I just want to say, if you're there today, I know how you feel. I completely understand how you feel, but I just want to interject that you're not thinking through the lens of faith. And you may not be in a place today where you feel like you can do that. And if that's where you are, guys, I want to encourage you to talk with someone here at the Crossings about that, because God is good and he has plans for you even if you don't see that right now. And people, if you will give the folks that love God an opportunity to help you see that, just go in there and let them talk with you and persuade you, because God has big plans for you. And I didn't know as a young kid who had messed up my life with drugs and stuff that God had plans for me. But man, when people came into my life and started sharing with me the truth that God sent them to share with me, I wasn't ready to receive it right at first, but my heart softened, and eventually I was, and I am so, so glad that I listened, because guys, God has a plan for every single one of you. He loves you so much. He doesn't want you to go through life like life is just this meat grinder that chews you up and spits you out. He wants you to be equipped for everything life throws at you. He wants you to have peace and stability. He wants you to be a source of peace and stability for others. And the way you can be that, guys, is to let Jesus into your life and let him come alongside you and to give your allegiance to him. He's the one we're working for. Like, he's the one we're trying to please. He's the one we're trying to honor. And when we put him first, guys, life is just better. Life works when we put him first. But you got to understand, man, setting these goals in faith, guys, this is what keeps you going. In Job 6:11, when he says he doesn't have that strength to endure, the reason he doesn't have it is he doesn't feel like he doesn't have anything to look forward to. You know, I don't have the strength to endure. Why? Because I don't have a goal that encourages me to carry on. I don't have anything to look forward to, so I don't even want to go on. Guys, goals help us have something to look forward to, and it helps us take the baby steps that we need to take to get there. You know, if you've ever had a major surgery, like where they open you up, there's a process of rehabilitation that you have to go through after that. It will be a thing at first, like, they'll be like, okay, can you sit up in the bed? Like, that's a baby step, right? That's a goal. Okay, today's goal is we want you to be able to sit up. Tomorrow's goal, we want you to be able to stand up. The next day's goal, we want you to be able to walk to the bathroom. We want you to be able to take a step into the hallway. We want you to take two steps in the hallway. There's baby steps, right? And that's what spiritual growth is like. You know, sometimes we can get intimidated where we see somebody that is much further along than we are. But, you know, we say the old saying, how do you eat an elephant? How do you do it? One bite at a time. That's exactly right. That's spiritual growth, man. That's spiritual growth. That's an old saying, by the way. Some of you look very confused. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? That's a cliche old saying. Welcome to the United States of America. it keeps us going, right? Let's move on. Number five. Goals build my character. Goals build my character. The greatest benefit of setting faith goals and working toward them isn't sometimes even what we achieve. It's like the process we go through and the character change we endure and undergo because of the process of working toward this. In Philippians 3:12, Paul says, I keep striving toward the goal. And he's talking here about his spiritual growth. You know, he's saying, man, I'm not where I need to be yet, but I'm working on it. That's kind of the whole impetus here in Philippians 3. I'm working on it. And this is Paul, a guy who wrote a large portion of the New Testament, right? He wrote, behind Luke, he is the second most prolific author. He wrote more text behind Luke than anybody else in the New Testament. This is a guy that we read a lot of his stuff, like in the Bible. He's saying, I am not there yet. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not fully mature yet. Now, when he gets to heaven, I don't know if we'll have to keep growing in heaven. Like, I don't know how that works. I have a feeling we're going to be complete in heaven, but I know here on earth, it doesn't matter who you are. I don't care if you are the most righteous person who has ever lived behind Jesus, you're a sinner, right? He is the only one that is not. All of us are flawed. Every single one of us in here has character flaws. We've got stuff. If you spend enough time with me, there'd be stuff about me that drives you nuts, right? And if I spend enough time with you, you know what I'm going to say. That's just being human. And so part of life is you get to go be human with a bunch of people that are messed up like you and do life together. And there's conflict. And there's drama because we don't all act like Jesus all the time, right? And that introduces this disharmony and stuff. But we got to keep striving. And this is what faith goals help us do. A faith goal is saying, I'm not arrived yet. Just like Paul is saying here, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm going to keep striving. I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And guys, setting spiritual goals builds your character. And this is so important to understand. Because you are not going to grow, none of us are going to grow unless we intend to. There's got to be intention. I'll never become what God wants me to be without intention. I've got to work on it and give it attention and be intentional about what I'm doing. This is part of my focus. Do you intend to be any different by the end of the year? Is that your intention? There are people who will not be different by the end of the year because they're not going to work on it. But if you work on it, if this is your intention and something you put energy into and something you take steps toward and you're committed to the process of, you will be at a different place at the end of the year. And what should motivate us to work toward goals is this fact: good goals are going to be rewarded. That's number six. Good goals are going to be rewarded. Guys, good goals bring reward here on earth. In Proverbs 11:27, it says, if your goals are good, you will be respected. We're going to celebrate somebody's birthday nationally, I believe next Monday. It'd be MLK Day. Guys, why do we remember Martin Luther King? Because he had a dream, right? He had a goal that he was working toward. Guys, Martin Luther King, we remember Martin Luther King and his life because of the way he spent his time and energy. The way he spent his time and energy was dictated by the goals that he set. And guys, we remember him because of the goals that he set in his life. Think about that. You want your life to matter? What are you leaving behind? You want to make an impact? What are your goals for your life? Like, what do you want to achieve? What's your life's work? Guys, it is honestly, it garners respect when dreamers dream big dreams and work toward big goals, and people see you making progress toward those big dreams and big goals. That is something that just is respectable. People look at that and they're inspired by that. When folks are setting big goals and working toward big goals. But if people never see you working toward goals, especially, guys, I'm just going to say young men in the room, listen up. If young ladies are only seeing you playing video games and you never talk about like your future or your dreams, or like some of you guys, you can't figure out what you want to do vocationally, like for a career, I want to encourage you young men to get a job and get a career and start thinking about your goals for your life. And I want to encourage you to dream big dreams for your life and quit settling for situations that are going to lead nowhere. Like, think about this and dream big and put one foot in front of the other and start taking steps toward your goals. But don't just be this guy that exists and just kind of goes through space, like, and, you know, you're settling for way less. Dream big, guys. Dream big and work toward big dreams. That's respectable. This is why we remember Martin Luther King and we don't talk about some of his, you know, peers and people around him that were just settling for less in life. I want to encourage you to dream God-sized dreams, make God-sized goals, take steps to achieve them, and watch God work. You'll get respected here on earth. But guys, there is a bigger prize that's way greater than respect on earth, and that is the prize in heaven that we get when we set these goals. It says in 1 Corinthians 9, all athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. God, you know, Paul's saying here, we're working toward an eternal goal. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. See how Paul's talking about goals still? I am moving toward this goal. I'm going to be purposeful in my movement toward this goal. And guys, we look back at the life of Paul and say, yep, he wasn't perfect. There were times, guys, there were times in the Bible. Did you know Paul and Peter had a knockdown drag out? Did you know that? Because Peter was being stupid. And Paul called him out on it and then wrote about it in the Bible. He did. Like, there was one time when Paul and Barnabas got into a fight, and it was such a big fight that they quit working together. Right? Did you know that? That's like drama. That's like big drama. But guess what? They were both okay. Did you know that? They both loved Jesus and they were okay. Paul was hard to deal with sometimes. Like, he was hard-headed. If he thought he was right about something, he would fight to the bitter end. But he also blessed a whole lot of people, right? But you need to understand, when we read about these guys in the Bible, we are reading about people with flaws that are human, that blow it sometimes, but also God is using them powerfully as they set these goals. Guys, the ultimate prize we are working for is eternity in heaven. It's eternity in heaven. You're setting goals, spiritual goals, and working toward them is working toward this prize. And yes, there are benefits on earth, but guys, our ultimate benefit as we strive to run towards Jesus is going to be, there's going to be an eternity to look forward to. There's going to be an eternity to look forward to. I want to encourage you, just think about a 100-day plan this year, okay? You know, we think about resolutions sometimes. We put them out for a year. We procrastinate. Let's just say 100 days. Let's just say 100 days. I want you to think about this now. What is the most important personal goal I'd like to accomplish in the next 100 days with God's help? Just think through this. You don't have to come up with it right now, but I want you to meditate on this and maybe, you know, talk through it in your groups this week. But let me just say, to have no goal is a goal. It is a goal to drift. It is a goal to not grow. It is a goal to be unintentional. To not have a goal is to have a goal. So just understand that. I want to encourage you to set a healthy goal in the next 100 days. What do you feel like God is calling you to do? Guys, the unexamined life is not worth living. It just is not. And I want you to ask, what is one thing I'd like God to help me change? What is one thing I'd like God to help me do? What is one character flaw or characteristic that I really want God to help me in? What is one habit I can develop that will really bless my relationship with God? Just what is it? Think about it, okay? And then I want you to ask, what is the most important ministry goal that I can accomplish in the next 100 days with God's help? And by ministry goal, what can God use me to do to help somebody else? What can God help me to do to help somebody else or empower me to do to help somebody else in the next 100 days? Just what, I don't know what that might look like for you. Like, but think that through. Give that to God and figure it out. I want this to be a transformative year for you. I really do. Now, just some qualifiers as you're thinking through goals. Guys, understand that not every goal is a good goal. This should be a God-honoring goal. It's not like hookers and blow, okay? Don't do that. Understand that not every goal is going to positively shape your future self. So run it through that filter. What is it? Love God and do as you please, right? That's going to filter out some of that. I'm not loving God in that place or in that situation, right? Use your common sense. But you also need to understand not every goal is a goal that God blesses. Because not every goal aligns with his priorities for your life. We can set some goals that are not good, just in terms of what they do to our lives or where God fits in the equation. So the question then is, what kinds of goals does God bless? If I want to set some goals this year, and I really want God to be involved, like, what kind of goals does God bless? Well, there's some questions that you need to ask that will filter some of this out. First of all, will this goal honor God? As I'm thinking through what I can do, will this goal really honor God? Because God isn't going to honor a goal that doesn't honor him. He's not going to align and help with a goal that doesn't honor him. And if it honors him, guys, it's going to be good for your life. It's going to be good for your family. It's going to be good for your relationships. God is good, man. Like, he loves us so much, more than we can understand, I think. And he expresses it, but I think it's hard for us to understand. But guys, he's not going to make any decisions that are not for your good. Even the stuff that's painful that he will take us through or lead us through or even inflict on us, it's always meant for our good. It is always meant for our good. It's never just meant to destroy or to harm. And so remember 1 Corinthians 6:20. God paid a great price for you, so use your body to honor God. In 10:31, when you eat or drink or do anything, always do it to honor God. He's saying here, even mundane tasks, like, you can honor God in those things. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it our goal to please him. That's talking about God.
as you're thinking about your goal, your ultimate goal has got to be to please God. And that's how you can ensure God is going to be involved in helping you achieve what it is in your life. And guys, with his help, nothing is impossible. Secondly, to make sure my goal is pleasing, I need to ask, is this goal motivated by love? Is this goal motivated by love? Because God is not going to honor a goal motivated by competition, guilt, shame, envy, jealousy, materialism. He's not going to honor that stuff. He's going to honor goals that honor him and bring him glory and make the world a better place. If it's God honoring, Holy Spirit inspired, it's going to be based in love because God is love. In 1 Corinthians 16, 14, Paul writes, everything you do must be done with what? Everything you do must be done with love. Guys, this is how God operates. Even when he's disciplining or punishing, the intention is love. 100% of the time. The intention is love. God wants us to do everything in love because he does everything in love. Can you have a loving goal? Yes. Let me ask you a different way. Can you have a loveless goal? Yes, you can, right? We have all probably set loveless goals at some point in our life, either intentionally or not. It's pretty easy to do. A loveless goal, you've got to be super careful with, because if you don't have love and you have a goal you're trying to achieve, you can very easily treat people like cogs in a machine or resources to be used to achieve a goal rather than treating them like people. You know what I'm saying? Like if I've got this thing that I want really, really bad, and I'm kind of selfish about it, and I'm not really thinking about others, I can use people as stepping stones to get to what I want instead of using them, or not using them, rather, but loving them like Jesus would have me do it, right? Lead to loving things and using people. Loveless goals lead to loving things and using people, but loving goals, we love people and use things. And we don't want to get that backwards, right? But that's what can happen very easily. 1 Corinthians 14:1, let love be your highest goal. As you're thinking about your own goals, guys, filter everything through that. Let love be your highest goal. Thirdly, to make sure my goal is pleasing to God, I need to ask, will this goal require depending on God? And again, this goes back to setting God-sized goals. A God-sized goal is a goal that's so big you can't achieve it unless God is involved. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. In Romans 14:23, it says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. And that's pretty comprehensive, right? So whatever goal I set, if it doesn't cause me to trust God more or to have to lean into God, it may not be the right decision. I need to set goals in faith. Guys, Proverbs 16:9 says, we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. I want you to notice, guys, God is the one who empowers us to achieve our goals. God is the one that gives us the power to live. Like, we can make plans, but God's the one that gives us the power to achieve them. We need to make sure those plans are God-honoring. Because there are three resources that you're going to need if you're going to achieve any kind of spiritual goal in your life. Whether it's this, you know, in the next 100 days, or any goal in life. There's three things you're really going to need to grow in spiritual maturity. And that's what I want to close with today. The first thing you're going to need, if you want to honor God, is you need God's Spirit. I need God's Spirit to empower me because I'm not powerful on my own. I need God's Spirit to empower me if I'm going to achieve these spiritual goals. In Zechariah 4:6, it says, "You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." Guys, you need the Spirit of God living in you in order to please God and to live for God and to strive for God. And this is what you receive when you become a Christian. You know, you receive the Holy Spirit when you become a Christian, and the Spirit of God lives in you and He helps guide you. He's a real person. Like, he's not this nebulous entity without a name. It's the Spirit. He's the Spirit of God, Spirit of Jesus, and He lives in you and He helps you, right? And you need Him in your life. Guys, you can pray for more of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you become a Christian, the Bible says when your sins are washed away in baptism and you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, you have that gift. But then you can pray for more of the Spirit and for more guidance and for more correction and for more help and for more growth. And if there's ever been a prayer that you should pray every day, it's for God to give you more wisdom and for God to give you more of His Spirit. Those are two things the Bible says you should pray for more of. More wisdom and more Spirit. And one of the prayers that I pray personally and have since I became a Christian is, God, I want you to open my eyes so that I can help other people's eyes be open. I want you to help me know you so that I can help others know you. And God, where I'm wrong about you, I just pray you'll discipline me and help correct me. You know, that's something that I pray. And I believe that is a prayer that God honors. And guys, you're talking personal relationship with God, the Spirit of God. God can work you over if He needs to. And He does, like if you're human. And so we invite that as disciples. We invite that when we say, God, give me more of your Spirit. Help me sense when I'm getting out of step with you. Help me feel the grief that you feel when I start getting out of step with you. Help me connect with you emotionally. Like, help me know you in an intimate way. Help me when I'm talking with this person to only speak your words or to only communicate, like even my body language, God, just take it over. Like, these are the types of things that I will pray. And I want to encourage you to do the same. And I want to encourage you, ask for more Spirit, more wisdom. Guys, we need a church here. We've got, a lot of us are new Christians, and that's great. That's wonderful. We really need you to grow up, because you are going to be the ones that help others learn. And if you guys get stuck in your growth, we're going to have a bunch of little baby believers around us that stay babies. And I'll tell you what, whenever you're way past the child age, but you're still asking for diaper changes when you're like 12 or 13, that's just weird. You've got to mature. You've got to mature. And guys, that is what inspires others to mature. But your personal relationship with Jesus, you, all of you need to understand, it's your personal relationship. Your personal relationship with Jesus is not mine. It's yours. If you aren't working on it, nobody else is going to do it for you. Because we can't. You need to take personal responsibility for your relationship with the Lord, and you need to be spending time with Him. And guys, I just want to encourage you, ask Him for His Spirit. Ask Him for wisdom. You need God's Spirit to empower you to know the right stuff and to be motivated to do the right stuff. Secondly, if you want to achieve these God-honoring goals, you need God's Word to guide you. I will need God's Word to guide me. Joshua was a good man. He was the guy that took over leading the Israelites after Moses. And before he died, he told the people this. Joshua 1:8, keep this book of law, he was talking about the Bible, on your lips, recite it by night and by day, that you may carefully follow all that is written in it. Then you will successfully attain your goal. Then you will successfully attain your goal. Notice, be careful to keep everything, carefully keep everything written in it. Then you will achieve your goal. We have a resource in the Bible that, guys, we have to put this resource to use. Whenever we open up the Bible, we are opening up the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it has authority. And when we open God's Word, we are opening up God's mind. We are able to see what God thinks. Guys, we are able to see what God expects, and we're able to plan our life accordingly. We must live under the Word of God. How familiar are you with it? Do you spend time in God's Word? Do you spend time with God, learning about Him? And do you, when you encounter something in God's Word, do you apply it? This is so important to setting spiritual goals and achieving them. We've got to have God's Word involved. We need His Spirit, we need His Word, and lastly, if I want to achieve my God-honoring goals, I will need God's people to support me. I will need God's people to support me. Guys, God does not want you to be alone. He does not desire you to be alone. God hates loneliness. And this is part of why He gives us the church. This was His idea. This wasn't something we invented later. This was Jesus' idea from the beginning when people become disciples and try to live in a way that honors God, they get a family. And God never designed us to be alone. As you're setting these goals, are these personal goals? Yes. But in achieving your personal goals, God does not intend for you to just do that by yourself. Like, oh, just go work harder. That's what the church is for, guys. The church is here to come alongside you and to help strengthen you. Because all of us are a mess. None of us have everything together. Like, all of us have shortcomings and weaknesses. There's not a single person in here that claimed to be perfect, right? But when we get together in the family and there's all these different gifts represented, there are going to be people that are really strong where you're weak, you know? And you're going to be really strong where somebody else is weak. And it's like when you come together in the family of God, all those strengths and weaknesses mixed together are what makes us complete. And we are incomplete without God, and we are incomplete without one another. And that's just the truth, guys. None of us were designed to be alone. None of us were designed to pursue God alone. None of us were designed to grow spiritually alone. It is all something that's done in concert with God and God's people, right? We need God's Word, we need God's Spirit, and we need God's people. And if you're visiting here today, I want to welcome you. We're really glad you're here. This is how we feel about people in general. We feel like the church is meant to be the family of God, where we look out at the world with our arms open. And anybody who would like to come follow Jesus, we want to help them do that. Like, that's what we are here to do. Not only that, we're called to go and persuade people why that is something they should want. You know, we call that making disciples. It's actually our job to be persuasive in the world. That's what it means to be salt and light, is we go out and we persuade other people that Jesus is the best and you should follow Him, and here's why. Because if those people don't, they're not going to have the best life they could have. The most loving thing you could do is go and share Jesus with another person. He is the greatest gift that you could ever give. He is the greatest purveyor of truth. He is the greatest role model. He is the one and only Son of God. He is the King of the universe, and He's the one that we will answer to for the way we live our lives. The most loving thing you can do is help somebody else say, I need to work on my relationship with Jesus. Could you tell me how to do that? And open God's Word and show them, guys. And we want to help you learn to do that. If you're here today and that's what you need, we want to help you with your relationship with God. Let me just tell you, it doesn't matter. If you're here today and you're one of those people who are like, I can't go to church, it'll burn down if I walk in there. Welcome to the Crossings, because that's how all of us feel. We've got some stories in here, guys. We are not a typical church in that a lot of our folks are first-generation Christians. Like, a lot of them, they're the first ones in their families that have become Christians. And so you're in a room full of people that largely did not grow up hearing the Bible stories that you grew up hearing as a kid because they didn't grow up going to church. Some of them did, but a lot of us didn't. And so a lot of folks in here are adults that are just learning stuff for the first time. And so if you feel a little insecure because you're here today and you feel like, you know, you feel insecure about that, I just want to assure you, you don't need to because you're right with people that are in the same spot you are. And so I just want to say welcome to you, and I want to encourage you to plug in. There is a cardstock piece of paper in your bulletin. I want to encourage everybody to pull that out and just start filling out that information. And if you are visiting and would like a Bible study, you can indicate that you'd like a personal Bible study. If you just want to talk to somebody about God, you know, or talk about your relationship with God, that's the Bible study, okay? And it sounds formal when the word study in there, really you're opening a Bible and having a conversation with somebody about, hey, look at this scripture, what do you think about this? Like, how do you think this applies to your life? And so it's a dialogue. It's not like a class. It's you're sitting and talking with someone and they're getting to know you. I want to encourage you to do that, like if you haven't done that. If you're wanting to join the church, indicate that on that card. If you're wanting help from one of our ministries, we've got resources for folks dealing with divorce, addiction, childhood sexual abuse, like just all kinds of stuff, brokenness in life. If there's anything on those resources we can help you with, let us know. We would love to. Guys, you're in a safe space. I just want to reiterate that. You are not going to have anything going on in your life that we are not familiar with. And I mean the worst of the worst stuff. Like, if you are struggling and need some help, there's people here that care and will help you. And this is a safe space. I want you to know that. So I'm going to pray. After I pray, the worship team is going to come up and sing a song. And then we'll sing another song after that and pass baskets. And you can drop your card in that basket. We also have the church banquet today, so we don't have any cell meetings this afternoon. At least our adults don't. I don't know what you other guys, I'm assuming you don't, but I don't want to speak for you. We have our banquet at 5. Is there anything I need to announce in relation to that? Okay, I don't see any hands. We do have online payment set up for that, so we will have that out to you. So you'll be able to pay with your debit card. So anyway, nothing else we need to announce for that? All right, I'm not seeing anybody. Awesome. All right, well, let me pray, and then we will close our service today, and I hope to see all of you back at the banquet tonight. It's going to be fun. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for bringing us together. I want to thank you for the good that you're doing through our church and in the lives of people. I want to thank you for all the baptisms we're getting to witness and just the growth we're seeing in lives, God. It's exciting to be part of a small, growing church with people that are serious about you. God, it's just amazing to see the stories you're writing in the lives of these folks. And I just pray for a great 2025. God, may we honor you and love you and lead others to know you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.